At this time of year, you may hear the expression, Jesus is the reason for the season. But today, Don Blackwell's lesson is entitled, Jesus is the reason, but not for the season.
And now, Don Blackwell.
It's the holiday time of the year, and this week many people are celebrating Christmas. For most people, Christmas is a time of gift-giving. It's a time of being with family, and it's a time of tradition. But some people consider it more than just that. As I was traveling on the road one day, I saw a sign in front of a denominational church building that said something like this, Christmas is a time to look upward, put Christ in Christmas. Not far from there was a lawn ornament in someone's front yard that depicts Santa Claus standing next to a sign that said, Jesus is the reason for the season. And friends, this sign really represents the thinking of many people. For many people, Christmas is a, quote, Christian holiday. Many people believe that this particular day, December 25th, marks the birth of Jesus Christ into this world. And because of that, many denominational churches put on plays at this time of the year depicting the birth of Christ. There are nativity scenes that are very popular decorations in front of church buildings and in front of people's houses. There are stars and angels adorning people's houses, and songs such as Joy to the World and Silent Night are sung as holiday carols. And many preachers preach sermons on Luke chapter 2 and tell about the journey of Joseph and Mary to the city of Bethlehem to be taxed by Caesar Augustus, and about how they found no room in the inn and they stayed in the stable and Christ was born and laid in a manger. And they relay that old and familiar story of the birth of Jesus. And you will see also at this time of the year people who haven't had an ounce of religion all year suddenly show up at church buildings. And they will tell you that it is because Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, with all of these things going on, sometimes members of the Church of Christ, of the Lord's Church, wonder what's true and what's not. Should I participate in these Christmas festivities? Should I put up a Christmas tree? Should I exchange gifts? Should I celebrate the birth of Christ on that day? Let's examine some of these thoughts today, and let's put to the test the statement that Jesus is the reason for the season. First, I want to suggest to you that Jesus is not the reason for the word Christmas. Have you ever thought about that? The word Christmas actually comes from two words, Christ and Mass. And of course, the term refers to the gathering or the Mass of the Catholic Church. Christ Mass is a special Mass whereby Jesus Christ is re-sacrificed in the observance of the Lord's Supper. This particular Mass is performed in commemoration of Christ's birth. It's interesting to note that the word Christmas, as we use it today, did not come into use until the 11th century, a thousand years after Christ came to the earth. Now, for Christmas Day, many in the religious world would tell you that Christmas Day, December 25th, they would say, is the day that Jesus was born. And on this basis, they say it's a time of religious festivities in which we should celebrate. But then there are others who observe Christ's birthday, but at a different time. The Armenian Church observes Christ's birthday, but they don't observe it on December the 25th. They observe it on January the 9th. The Orthodox Church also celebrates the birthday of Christ, but again, not on December the 25th. They would celebrate it on January 19th. But the question that we need to have answered is not what do men say, not what does the Orthodox Church say, or the Armenian Church, or anyone else, but rather, what does God say about this? And the fact of the matter is, the Bible does not give a specific date for Christ's birth. It doesn't even hint at a date. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He says, "Unto you this day," the Lord says. But it doesn't say which day. It doesn't specify a certain date. In fact, the biblical evidence seems to point to a time other than December or January. Well, the Bible doesn't give a specific date, but more importantly than that, the Bible does not contain a commandment to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, let me say that again, because it's very contrary to what you hear in the religious world today. The Bible does not contain a commandment to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, you know, that would be shocking to many people in the religious world, because some people believe they have got to celebrate Christ Mass or the Christmas Mass. They have to go to worship. They have to go and celebrate at this time of the year. But the Bible contains no such command. The only day set aside in the New Testament as a day of religious observance is Sunday, the first day of the week. And in fact, I would stress the fact it's the first day of every week. It's interesting the way people seemingly find religion, or they have this religious spirit once a year. But the Bible indicates the day in which we should worship, the day in which we should come together, is the first day of every week. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we are to follow the pattern of the early Christians. And that text tells us they met on the first day of each week. And the day that they came together, they partook of the Lord's Supper. That was the day that Christ arose from the dead. And we partake of the Lord's Supper on that day, remembering not Christ's birth, but rather His death. Friends, there is no date given in the Bible when Christ was born. There is no commandment given in the Bible to celebrate the birth of Christ. And therefore, there is no authority for us to incorporate this as a religious observance that Christians must practice. Now, the conclusion then is that Christ is not the reason for the celebration of Christmas. In fact, if we look back at secular history, we will find out that Christmas did not even begin in Bible times. The first celebration of the birth of Christ seems to have begun sometime during the 2nd century, perhaps during the reign of the Roman Emperor Commodus, who died about 180 A.D. Now, when the celebration first began, it seems to have been celebrated in the spring of the year, often as late as April or May. And it was not until the 4th century that religious leaders decided to move their celebration to December the 25th, the day that we now know as Christmas. And it's very interesting the reason. The reason that this move took place to December 25th was not because they believed that it was Christ's birthday, that they had pinpointed the actual day in which Christ was born, but rather it was a move to counter pagan festivities connected with the winter solstice. The pagans had their celebration, so the Christians, the quote Christians, came up with this to compete with them. Now, I thought it was interesting that one article that I read said that even though Christmas was started as a religious festival since the time of the Industrial Revolution, it has been developed commercially. And for some people, that's all they observe it as today, is a commercial holiday. Well, the origin of Christmas, the Bible and secular history all indicate that Jesus is not the reason for the season. He's not the reason for Christmas. All right, what about the Christmas tree? I want to suggest to you that Jesus is not the reason for the Christmas tree. I read that the Christmas tree actually originated in Germany. There were evergreen trees there that in times past, they were once worshipped because they symbolized eternal life. Well, that has nothing to do with Christ. Christ is not the reason for the Christmas tree. Well, what about the Christmas stocking? That's part of the tradition involved in the celebration of Christmas in this country and others. Well, Christmas stockings originated in France. It was taught that a fairy filled the stockings of children according to their past behavior. Those who were naughty received ashes. And so that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Christ is not the reason for Christmas stockings. Well, what about mistletoe? Probably you're familiar with the tradition of the mistletoe, that it is hung in people's houses at this time of the year. Well, mistletoe came from the Druids, who thought that this particular plant contained magical powers. Again, nothing to do with Christ Jesus. Christ, then, is not why we use mistletoe. Well, someone might ask, what about Christmas lights? You know, this time of the year, Many people have decorated their home and lights in their front yard with lights, and they decorate their tree, and some of them are very beautiful to look at. Some say that the Christmas lights probably came from the Festival of Lights, or Hanukkah, which is a festival held in December to remember the rededication of the Jewish temple by Judas Maccabees in 165 B.C. And so that doesn't have to do with Jesus Christ. Jesus is not the reason for Christmas lights. Well, what about the jolly fat man we see in the red suit at this time of year? We call Santa Claus. Santa Claus was said to be the ghost of Saint Nicholas, who was a bishop in Holland during the 4th century. That has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. The idea of people being made saints, according to the Bible, all Christians are saints. This idea of bestowing sainthood on individuals is a departure from the Bible. Now, with all these things in mind, it ought to be clear to us that Jesus is not the reason for the season. Now, someone may ask the question, what does this mean to me? What does all of this mean to us? Well, friends, it means to us that as a religious holiday set aside by God, Christmas is no such thing. The Lord has not given us a date of Christ's birth. The Lord has not given us a specific commandment to celebrate this, nor has He specifically given us authority to teach it as a divinely sanctioned holiday. If we look through the eyes of the New Testament, Christmas does not even exist. Well, the question then comes, is it wrong for Christians to celebrate Christmas? And you know, this is a question that many Christians have struggled with. If you are a person who believes that it is wrong to celebrate Christmas, then certainly you should not celebrate Christmas because it's wrong to offend your conscience, according to Romans chapter 14. And the Bible indicates whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14 would indicate if you do this anyway and offend your conscience, you sin in so doing. But you know, for many faithful Christians, members of the Church of Christ, they do celebrate Christmas, but not as a religious holiday, but as a secular holiday. They do not believe that Jesus was born on December the 25th. They don't celebrate that as Christ's birth on that particular day. They have no religious overtones to the celebration of this holiday at all. They simply view Christmas as a secular holiday in which they spend time with family. They exchange gifts, they decorate their houses, and they enjoy the happy festivities. It has nothing to do with the religious overtones of the birth of Christ. Friends, these things can be done without any religious observance and without violating biblical principles. For them, it is nothing more than a day in which they get together for fellowship, fun, and family love. Now, some people have argued that Christmas is of Catholic origin and that using that word and celebrating it in any sense is therefore wrong because it just perpetuates the error. But friends, this objection is really wrong for at least two reasons. One, the word itself no longer refers to a specific Catholic Mass. It's become generalized. It now refers to a holiday. And it's inconsistent for us to reject the holiday based on the origin of the word. Think about that. If we rejected every holiday because of the origin of the word, if we did that, we could not use the word Sunday. It comes from the sacred day of the sun. We could not use the word Thursday. It refers to the day of the war god, Thor. We could say the same thing about other days and about other names of our months as well. For us, today, Thursday is not a day to honor Thor, the war god. And when we speak of Thursday, no one has that in mind. To us, it's simply the fifth day of the week. And we could say the same thing about Christmas. To us, when you mention Christmas, it is not a mass for Christ. It is a day for joy, gladness, warmth with friends and loved ones. When we take this occasion to meet and mingle and exchange gifts and good wishes, and to relax in a season of happiness and goodwill. Is it wrong for Christians to celebrate Christmas? No, it's not wrong. Not in the proper context. Not in the way in which we're discussing it here as a secular day, as a time to have fun and enjoy being with family. Is it wrong for Christians to have a Christmas tree? No, it's not wrong for them to have a Christmas tree if they have this understanding and they are not pushing it as a religious type thing, as we've discussed. Is it wrong for them to put lights on their house or to sing the song Jingle Bells? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But it should be ever so clear in our minds that Jesus is not the reason for the season. But even though He's not the reason for the season, there are some things for which Jesus is the reason. I want to take the rest of our time today to talk about some of those things. Jesus is the reason, but not for the season. But Jesus is the reason for redemption. Jesus is the reason for redemption. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, the Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It was Jesus who gave Himself to redeem us, or to buy us out from all iniquity. In Ephesians 1 and 7 says that we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so Christ shed His blood. When He shed His blood, He provided a scheme of redemption for all men who are willing to accept it. Jesus is the reason for redemption. Number two, Jesus is the reason for salvation. The Bible teaches this from Genesis to Revelation. You know, John the Baptist said about Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." John 1 and verse 29. Of course, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen to verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream before Christ's birth and said, "And she," talking about Mary, "and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. And Jesus did just that. He made salvation possible for all men. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans 1 and verse 16. Jesus is the reason for redemption. Jesus is the reason for salvation. Number three, Jesus is the reason for eternal life. Listen to this verse. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." In other words, the earnings, that which you desire, or that which you have earned, you deserve rather, because of your sin, is death. When you commit sin, you deserve to die. That is eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle John wrote, "And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." 1 John 5:11. Friends, if you are not a part of Christ today, then you do not have eternal life. Heaven is a place reserved for the faithful, obedient servants of the Lord. Peter says that the Christian has an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4. The question for us today, the question for you today is this: have you prepared your life to spend eternity with Christ? Do you have a reservation in heaven? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb by being buried in baptism? If not, why not? Jesus is the reason for the hope of salvation. And Jesus is the reason for the facts of the gospel. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. In this passage, Paul has described the facts of the gospel, the death of Christ, His burial, His resurrection. It is interesting that the Bible puts more emphasis, far more emphasis, on the death and the resurrection of Christ than it does on His birth. In verse 14 it says, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." You see, Christ is the reason for the facts of the gospel, and He is the reason for the gospel plan of salvation. Through Christ's death, He provided a way whereby all men can be saved from eternal damnation from hell. He provided a plan so that we can be cleansed by His blood and be free from sin. Friends, that plan of salvation, the gospel plan of salvation, teaches first that if a man would be a child of God, if he's going to go to heaven, he must hear the gospel. No man can be saved if he doesn't hear the gospel. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard?" You see, a man must hear. It is necessary to call in order to be saved. It's necessary to believe in order to call. And it's necessary to hear in order to believe. The conclusion is that if a man never hears the gospel, he can't call, he can't believe, he can't be saved. A man cannot be saved eternally if he cannot hear the gospel. And that's why the verse goes on to say, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" In other words, Christians had better get the word to them or else they're going to be lost. If they don't hear, they have no hope. Someone says, "Well, what about the man who never hears the gospel? Will he still be condemned even though he's ignorant of the truth?" Listen to this, Acts 17:30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world." Now, what's the point? The point is, ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance cannot wash away my sins. Only the blood of Christ can do that. And that is only through the gospel. I can only contact the blood of Christ by obeying the gospel. In the New Testament, every person who is ever saved first heard the gospel. But secondly, a man must believe the gospel. Once he's heard it, he must believe it. Mark 16:15-16, Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, what does that entail when we say a man must believe the gospel? A man must understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 8:24, Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." He must understand that Jesus is deity. John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How it is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Then He arose from the dead, defeating death, 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. Romans 10:9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And it's crucial that a man believe and understand the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22-23 teaches us the body of Christ is the church. A man needs to understand the one church wherein all of the saved are located. Not a denomination. We don't read in the Bible about denominations. The body of Christ is the one and only church of Christ. In Acts 8:12, the Bible says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And incidentally, the text says men and women were baptized. Never do we read about little children being baptized, and indeed they don't need to be. Those who are accountable in the eyes of God are those who have reached a certain level of mental maturity. They are people who are old enough to believe. But then, upon hearing and believing, a man must repent of his sins. In Acts 2, those present on the day of Pentecost wanted to know the answer to the question, "What must we do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" In verse 37, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 38, Peter answered, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Repentance involves three things. It involves a change of mind, it involves a change of life, and it involves a change of my being. Now, once a person's heard the gospel, and he believes the gospel, and he repents of his sins, he has this change of mind that results in a change of life. The change of mind, because of godly sorrow, that results in a change of life and restitution in his life. He makes a confession in Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then he's baptized in water for the remission of sins, where he contacts the blood of Christ, where his sins are washed away in the watery grave of baptism. If he will do those things, the Lord will add him to his church, and he will be among the saved, prepared to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. Friends, if you haven't done that today, won't you make your life right? Won't you obey the gospel before it's too late?